freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
I don't read the internet, guys.
Take the bull by the hands.
On Seattle Sports.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
And Brooke Wire, you are. And Brooke, you are.
Styled by Simply Seattle.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
Good morning. Hi, everybody. It is the Brock and Salk Show, Seattle Sports on 710CLSports.com, Seattle Sports app, and the podcast platforms. I hope you are watching on video. The opening here today is going to require, well, it'll be, let's just say, aided by a little video. So if you could jump onto the video stream and watch. Not that I generally want you to look at my ugly mug, but I'm gonna offer a description in the next 5 minutes that would be aided video. I'm just saying it'll be aided with video.
Okay.
You don't need it. I'll describe it. You'll kind of know what I mean.
Do we need music for this?
No, I don't need music. But if you could watch on video here for a moment, seattlesports.com or on the Seattle Sports app, if you don't have that, download it. What's the matter with you? You don't have to download it like this second because then you won't have time. But, you know, let's go to the web and watch this thing.
Okay.
You're asking a lot of people at 6 o'clock in the morning on Maura, a Monday.
So. I'm assuming anybody who was listening at 6 o'clock has been up for quite some time.
It is also April Fool's Day, so I'm going to take everything with a hefty grain.
I know. No, this is not an April Fool's joke. This is very serious, Justin.
Yeah. Okay.
Very serious. Although there's an April Fool's joke going on in my house in about an hour. Cecily, in her infinite wisdom, has cut out a picture of Winnie the Pooh. Put it onto Avery's shoe so that when she wakes up, puts her shoes on this morning, Cecily's going to say, "You've got poo on your shoe."
Got him.
Got him. Yep.
That one's going to stay.
Oh, yeah. We'll see if Avery even makes it to school after that. So, yeah, that's what's going on in my house. All right. Obviously, this new offense did not look so different after four games compared to what we saw last year. It looked pretty darn similar, but without much of the power. So is it a big deal? I know. What was the guy saying on Friday that he had a bet that I would use the word panic before 6:30? All right. Well, I guess I'll use it again. Are we panicking today? No. Is it a big deal? No. Is it concerning because of what we saw last season? Yes, of course. Here's what I would like to say. I am not, panicking about the Mariners, not panicking about their offense. I'm also not just sitting here, smiling through it all. What I'm giving them is the side eye. That's what they're getting. The Mariners get the side eye this weekend.
Ooh.
Yep. Is that worse?
No, it's not worse. It's just like it's the questioning side eye.
Okay.
That's what I was saying. It would be helpful if you guys had a little video for this.
Okay.
I give the side eye best to my left. So unfortunately, the camera's sort of the right. So I have to kind of. Which camera are you using, this one or that one, Justin? This one over here?
Right. Yeah.
The one's in the corner, right? I'm giving you the side eye. Giving it to you. Excuse me? That. Got my eye on you. I got my eye on you, even if it's to the side. And it's funny that we give people the side eye to tell them we have our eye on them when it's harder to see that way. You're straining your eyes. But whatever. I got my eye on you. I got my eye on the offense.
I'm trying to not have to look that way. But
right.
You're making me look that way.
I don't want
to
look at you.
Yeah. I mean, didn't it sound already from Service's comments this weekend like he's giving the offense the side eye a little bit?
Everybody's giving them the side eye, and for good reason. Yes. I don't want to be looking at you. I don't want to be thinking about this. I don't want to be talking about this. It's a similar look to the one I gave Cecily last night after she spilled her second drink of dinner. Two. First the water, then her, pineapple juice drink. Both of them, all over the place. First one went on Avery, second one went on Heather. I, thankfully, was sitting diagonal from Cecily and emerged unscathed from the disaster at the restaurant.
But you're on a Brock level this Monday morning of side
mentioning
stories.
My kids. I know. Well, yes. they go with the side eye, Maura. They go with the side eye.
Maura's getting the side eye next.
Okay, yeah, Maura, don't make me look over there at you to the side.
Don't you compare me to Brock.
Thankfully, you sit to the right, so I can't give you the side eye nearly as well to my right as I would if you were sitting over here on my left. 45 strikeouts and 6 walks. 45 strikeouts and 6 walks. Now, if you know me, you know that while the 45 strikeouts are abysmal, that won't be the entirety of my focus this morning. You can strike out 45 times. What you can't do is have only 6 walks to go with it, right? You can't walk 1.5 times per game. Last year, in a down year for them in that, right? Remember, they needed to walk more last year. They still walked 3.4 times per game. The year before that, when they went to the playoffs, that number was 3.7. This year so far, through four games, 1.5. You're off by more than 50%. That's a problem. Yeah, it sure is. Hey, this new offense, it might strike out, but it's supposed to generate a lot more hits, a lot more contact. Well, they averaged 8.2 hits per game through the first four. Last year, 8.2 is last year. Okay. This year, yeah. 5.75. So hits per game for this offense that's going to hit the ball more, make more contact, down from 8.2 to 5.75. And you know how I feel about power. My concern about this lineup is that they're giving up some power in order to make more contact. Well, so far, they're averaging 0.75, 3/4 of a home run per game. That's 3 in 4 games. Last year, that number was 1.3. So they're down by a half a home run per game. Guys, those are not good numbers for the weekend. They don't necessarily mean they're going to translate through the rest of the year, but those are not good numbers. Canzone and Urias are both hitless. Polanco has one hit, was a little blooper. They're not hitting the ball very well. And Scott Servais was pretty under, as you said, he recognized it. He's given them the side eye himself.
You know, we're not getting a ton of fastballs. Until you start hitting the slow ball or the breaking pitch, the changeup, that's what they're going to keep throwing. So we know that. It is a long season, and everybody wants to point, the strikeouts, this and that. You know, we do have a good offensive team. The guys at the top of the lineup and getting pitched tough, and, you know, we're not doing much with it.
Yep, that's for sure, and that is the way the weekend went. I saw Ryan Divish had his numbers that he got from Baseball Savant this morning, and, yeah, they're brutal, right? The Red Sox decided to just not throw them fastballs. Hey, look at this team over here. They can't hit the curveball. Let's not throw them any fastballs. The numbers are crazy. The Red Sox threw 60% cutters, sliders, curves, balls that break away from a right-hander. Okay? 60%. That's an insane number.
Yeah, it is.
Cutters, sliders, and curves. Throw in another 15% that were two-seamers. Those have movement on them. And another 12% that were changeups or splitters. Throw all that together. I'll do the math for you guys. I did it ahead of time just so that I wouldn't screw it up here on the air. You know how many what percentage of pitches they saw were four-seamers? Just regular straight-up fastballs? 13%. So if you don't hit it when you get it, you're screwed. I mean, the dude yesterday essentially was pitching changeup first. Like, yeah, I'm not going to throw you a fastball. You might hit it. But I know you're not going to hit this, so let me just keep throwing it at you. I don't think the answer for the Mariners is to start pounding the ball on sliders and splitters and changeups and curves. That's probably not going to happen. What I'd like to see them do is, you know, not swing at all of them. Take some of those pitches. I know that some of them will still be called strikes, but this is why I was not railing against the control the zone philosophy. You got to take some of those pitches. I appreciate that they want to be a little bit more aggressive, but unfortunately, one of the problems and pitfalls with aggressiveness can be exactly the same as what you guys were complaining about last year with the patience and controlling the zone.
Mm-hmm. I know
you still strike out because you're swinging more.
I know we're out of time on this, but I also know that neither of us follow the Red Sox pitching staff all that great. Are they flamethrowers, or is this what they do? Is that the way this team is built?
This is part of their new strategy, is they're going to try to throw a lot more... They're going to try to throw a lot more off-speed stuff. And they got some dudes who might be good. This rotation might end up being pretty good when it's all said and done.
Starters are solid, nowhere near what the Mariners' rotation is, but their relievers are not very good.
Okay. You should have scored, you know.
Or not last.
You shouldn't, yeah.
Justin, in the last three games, the Mariners, when they weren't handed a runner at second base in some ridiculous zombie runner rule thing that should go back to the hell from which it came, they had 3 1-run performances in 9 innings in a row. I mean, take out the extra innings, and we're not gonna, because the Julio thing is a cool story, and I promise we'll get to it today because it's awesome. I don't want to make this weekend entirely negative. It wasn't. They did go 2-2. They didn't go 0-4. And I know it kind of feels like it this morning. But, you know, Friday, one run. Saturday, before you were handed a runner on second base, one run. Yesterday, one run. That's obviously not going to get a cut. Not going to cut it this year.
Whether you're planning a special birthday party for 14 friends and family or a company outing for up to 400 coworkers, Mariner's Suites are the perfect spot for your next get-together. Enjoy catering, VIP parking, private entry, and more. Reserve today at mariners.com/suites.
Spring is here, and now is a great time to visit the incredible new showroom at Toyota of Kirkland. Right now, Toyota of Kirkland has over 400 new Toyotas in stock and on the way, including Camrys, RAV4s, Tacomas, Highlanders, 4Runners, and Tundras. Test drive one today and drive it home immediately. Let the team at Toyota of Kirkland take the hassle out of the car buying experience. Toyota of Kirkland will exceed your expectations in every way. Visit them today or shop online at toyotaofkirkland.com.
Washington residents get special discounts on tickets and memberships all throughout May. Plan your vacation today and see MoPop's newest exhibition, Massive, The Power of Pop Culture. Open now. Tickets at mopop.org/vacation.
Cantor Diamond, truly the best diamond prices, saving you big on your next special diamond. By appointment in our Tacoma showroom or globally by phone or email, cantordiamond.com or on Instagram at KANTOR Diamond.
You're free now, free to stream beyond your wildest dreams, free to be everything you imagine and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber, your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability, service in select locations only.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, it was not particularly satisfying because of the way it went down, but let's be clear, it wasn't awful either. Weekend split at T-Mobile as the Mariners took the middle two games of the series, dropped the first and the last Friday, dominated by the pitching. Kirby, Spire, Stanek, Munoz combining on the shutout, and J.P. Crawford handling essentially all of the offense. That was great to see. Saturday was the fun one as Julio Rodriguez had the very first walk-off of his career.
Game-winning run at third and a pitch. Line drive, right center field, ball game. Julio Rodriguez gets it done. Yes, sir. And the Mariners win it. 4-3. Rojas scores and that's your ball game.
I don't think I've ever seen a player as wet as Julio was at the end of that game. Like, I've seen players get hit with the ice and the Gatorade and stuff. He was, like, sopping wet. Like, he was drenched. It looked like he had jumped into a pool and then come out and nobody gave him a towel. How does that even happen? It was crazy. Good on him, though. That was a great moment. Scott Service on what it takes to make that happen.
We've seen him have a lot of opportunities. I think we all lived through it last year. The struggles he went through, and everybody expects your best player to come through all the time. It's hard. But if you do slow it down and control your emotions like you did tonight, great things can happen. I think it's not going to be the last walk-off that he gets, that's for sure. But I did not know it was his first. But he's certainly a different, he's a different animal right now. He really is. He's gained a lot of, confidence, trust in himself in those moments. And you go through it and have some success doing it a certain way, you know, it ain't going to leave him. That's for sure.
Well, it is interesting. Remember last year, they stopped pitching around him in big spots, right? They just start, well, we'll take our chances with this guy. And it's interesting. That's kind of what happened there. I mean, it was what, first and third, one out. They could have walked Julio and taken their chances with Polanco. Instead, they chose to go after Julio and he made them pay. So good on him. As for the rest of the offense, because unfortunately yesterday they went right back into the tank. They're having issues. 45 strikeouts, only 6 walks over the weekend. Scott Service knows that those strikeouts are part of the problem.
We need to do a better job there as well as, you know, handling the off-speed pitches. We have been chasing a little bit more than normal and haven't gotten the ball in play like I thought we would. So, again, not our best series. You look up, we split it for a club that I think is – we have a good offensive team. We just have not gotten it going yet.
I think that's really well said. Not our best series. We split it, didn't have our best performance, we'll still need to get it going. I think that's very, very well said by Scott Servais. So, in terms of getting it going, Cleveland comes in for three starting tonight. Emerson Hancock will take the ball for the first time this year. Guardians, they had a bit of a soft start to the season. They took 3 of 4, but it was in Oakland, so I'm not sure if that counts 100%.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Connecticut, Purdue, Alabama, and NC State. 2-1 seeds, that's Connecticut and Purdue. A 4 seed in Alabama. And then the surprise to the party, the number 11 seeded Wolfpack are the final team in the Final Four. They are the first team ever to make this part in the tournament with 14 losses on their resume. Gonzaga couldn't get there. They had no answer for Zach Edey, although at least they held him to 27 points. I guess that was a victory. He did go for 40 yesterday against Tennessee. Honestly, I've been paying more attention to the women's bracket, and that is shaping up to have an incredible finish. Iowa and LSU late this afternoon in a rematch of last year's final. Caitlin Clark psyched.
I think we're excited. I think, you know, anytime you have a chance to go up against somebody you lost to, it brings a little more energy. But at this point in the tournament, every single team is good. Whether you're playing West Virginia, whether you're playing Colorado, whether you're playing LSU, you prep the exact same way. You come in with the same exact mindset. And I think overall, it's just going to be a really great game for women's basketball, and they're really solid 1 through 5.
Yeah, it is going to be, you know, lots of personalities in that game, right? You've got Caitlin Clark on one side, Kim Mulkey, who was the subject of a big article column this weekend, who's not happy about that, threatening to sue, and so you got her as the coach on the other side. And then Angel Reese for LSU kind of became the villain last year. She's fine with that.
I think people just take it like, we hate each other. Like, me and Caitlin Clark don't hate each other. Like, I want everybody to understand that it's just a super competitive game. And like, when I get between those lines, like, we're not friends, we're not buddies. I'm gonna talk trash to you, I'm gonna do whatever it takes to get in your head the whole entire game. But I don't think people really realize that, and that's fine. I'll take the villain role. I'll take the hit for it. But I know we're going women's basketball, and if this is the way we're going to do it, then this is the way we're going to do it. You like it or you don't.
That's pretty awesome. I love that. I'm psyched for this game this afternoon. That will be appointment viewing for me, South Carolina. Of course, continuing to roll on their side of the bracket as well.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Yeah, Kraken spanked again this weekend. 3-0 loss at home to the Stars. It wasn't as bad necessarily as the score. I mean, they hung tough. 2-0 till the end, and then an empty netter made it 3, but yeah, just kind of more of the same. The real news, though, we should see Shane Wright back in action tonight as they go to San Jose. Remember Shane Wright? Yeah, top 5 pick, guy that they were kind of counting on maybe this year to bring on, you know, pour on some scoring and kind of add to what they had done last season. Hasn't really happened. So he can play in a total of 7 games without burning a year of his entry-level contract. I believe he's played in 1 so far. So he can play in 6 of the last 9 games. You can do the math and wouldn't burn any of his rookie contract eligibility. That's everything you need to know.
That was definitely what it felt like, didn't it? The not burning a year.
A little then, bit, yeah.
Like, I mean, in hindsight, that seems a little bit more
kinda
obvious.
Yeah, as you're kind of bringing everybody else up. Yeah, but on the other hand, I would have liked to have, like, if you had done it a couple of weeks ago, you know, at that point, you could have just said, hey, you know what? Yeah, we're going to burn the year of his rookie contract. Fine. But we need to play this guy. We got to find out what he's got. We got to put him in the NHL and see whether or not he's good enough to be there.
I mean, part of it also feels like maybe they already know what they got.
Well,
they still weren't going to burn a year of eligibility.
Yeah. Oh, like they think they know he's going to be good?
Or not. But they know it was like, let's not.
How could you
like,
know?
He's still not ready.
How could you know? How could
until,
you know?
Until you have him in? I don't know.
You don't know.
You don't know?
They don't know.
You don't know.
They don't know. Nobody knows. Let the guy play. I want to see him play and see whether he's got anything here in the last couple of weeks. All right. Ton of baseball today, obviously, with the Mariners getting off to their start. There's a lot of comparisons to be made. I'm sure you guys are doing some of that comparison shopping with everything else around the league and some of the guys that left or some of the guys we talked about, Matt Chapman and Eugenio Suarez and Jared Kelnick and Teoscar Hernandez. You know, I want to kind of check in and see how all those guys are doing. We will do that over the course in the morning. Shannon Dreyer is going to pop on and join us as well. But first, Moore's got to take us through the weekend. If you missed anything, we'll get you caught up next on Brock and Salk.
Cantor Diamond, four generations of professionalism, quality, and low prices. Let us earn your business and we'll make you our top priority. By appointment only in Tacoma or globally by phone or email, cantordiamond.com or on Instagram at K-A-N-T-O-R Diamond.
Massive. The Power of Pop Culture is Seattle's Museum of Pop Culture's newest exhibition featuring iconic artifacts from Batman, Star Wars, Barbie, and more. All throughout May, Washington residents receive special discounts on tickets and memberships. Tickets at mopop.org/maycation.
Spring is here, and now is a great time to visit the incredible new showroom at Toyota of Kirkland. Right now, Toyota of Kirkland has over 400 new Toyotas in stock and on the way, including Camrys, RAV4s, Tacomas, Highlanders, 4Runners, and Tundras. Test drive one today and drive it home immediately. Let the team at Toyota of Kirkland take the hassle out of the car buying experience. Toyota of Kirkland will exceed your expectations in every way. Visit them today or shop online at toyotaofkirkland.com.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Weekdays 6 to 10.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
All right, coming off a busy sports weekend. That's what we get this time of year. We're heading into, it's now draft month. You should know that. It's draft month. You got NCAA tournament action as they have set the final four in the men's bracket, and they're about to be there in the women's bracket after tonight. Big game with Iowa and LSU coming up at like 4:45 or so this afternoon. I know that I'm going to be watching that. And, yeah, of course, the Mariners and the rest of Major League Baseball got their season going as well. So, Maura, if we missed any of it, if, I don't know, you were out enjoying some of the sunshine, maybe you were taking a walk, a run, doing something active, working in your yard, if you missed anything, don't worry. Maura's got you covered.
All right, well,
I didn't do any of those things, but.
No?
No, I took a couple walks. I walked around the lake a couple times.
I would assume you got Gertie out.
Yeah, Gertie walked around the lake twice. Yeah. Most of the lake. She gets to a point where her little legs are just kind of toast.
At that point, do you pick her up or do you wait?
Well, the truth of the matter is, Justin, the first few times you wait, Heather brought with her a carrier. I won't
like
do
a
it.
Snuggie?
Like, it's
what are
like
those
a.
Things called?
Like a baby Bjorn for a dog?
Kind of. Yeah. It goes, it's like an over the shoulder one. Like, it's like a purse, like a large purse. And it was fine when we first got her and she weighed like, you know, 8 or 10 pounds, but she's growing. She's like 15, 16 pounds now. Like,
so is she going to
grow out of that
arm
thing?
Or
yeah,
she
she's under
chest?
The arm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You guys have all kinds of gear now.
Yeah. Let's be clear when you say you guys, Heather.
So is there a dog stroller? Just answer that one.
We don't have one.
Yet.
Yet.
You think
now she's
happen?
Pretty good. She can walk, man. She really likes walking. I'm hoping we don't need that.
Okay.
Yeah. I really don't think anybody who walks by this dog and doesn't like look at us or look at her, I'm like, you're an evil person. Like, if you can walk by this adorable Frenchie who's just a puppy walking around Green Lake and not even like take a second glance, like, I assume you're an obnoxious human being.
Maybe at this point, want to leave people alone. Maybe,
no.
Maybe they want to be left alone.
I didn't say you have to like stop me, like, oh, let me look at your puppy. But like, somebody who doesn't like look at her and kind of smile. Like, what's the matter with you? Mm-hmm. Have you no love in your heart?
A puppy, yeah, I would agree.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Fair.
I would never walk by a puppy and not smile.
Yeah. It's just a natural reaction.
Unless you're evil. Like a lot of the people walking around Greenland.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's right. I said it.
All right, we'll move on before you alienate all your neighbors.
Okay.
Okay. Well, we started off Friday with not great news of Mitch Garver being scratched pregame with back spasms. That's another thing that I think has some people feeling a little worried about what we thought was going to be such a different lineup, because injuries were one of the big things we were worried about with a lot of these additions this offseason. So not a great start there.
He's already missed more games he's played.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, yes, this is a huge problem.
Yeah.
Like, he can be back probably tonight, although Scott said he was likely to be back yesterday, and he wasn't. I'm sure they're just giving him an extra day, and we'll ask Shannon about it when we talk to her at, like, 8:40 or so this morning. But, like, yeah, I mean, he played in one game, and then his back tightened up, and he missed three of them. This is there are some questions about this team. This is what I've been kind of saying here for a little while. I like this team, and there are some positives and ways they can be better than they were last year. There's also some risk on this team. And I think we saw some of the downside of that risk over the course of this weekend. But because you've got a dominant rotation, you were able to steal two games in which you scored one run in the first nine innings. You won two games after scoring one run through nine innings. If people are wondering, like, why is there frustration here this weekend despite going 2-2, that's it. That's the reason why.
Well, and that's a lot of what we saw last year, and we were hoping to see something different.
That's right.
The Mariners on Friday won 1-0 with George Kirby. He started out uncharacteristically walking two out of the first three batters he faced, which is so crazy because the guy usually walks like a handful of batters the entire season.
How mad was he?
Oh, yeah.
On the mad meter, how mad was George?
I think it was up there.
Good.
Yeah. But he was dominant the rest of the way, so obviously the anger helped. Going 6 2/3 innings of scoreless baseball, giving up just two hits and two walks and striking out eight. The only run of the game, though, for the offense came via a J.P. Crawford solo shot in the bottom of the sixth. Andrés Muñoz got the final out of the eighth and was incredible in the ninth. He looked fantastic. Striking out the side, his last pitch was this 99-mile-an-hour sinker to Reyes.
The stretch and the 2-2 on the way, swing and a miss, strike three, and it's over. The Mariners win the second game of the year, their first win of the season here in 2024. A combined 1-0 shutout over the Boston Red Sox. Andrés Muñoz strikes out the side here in the top of the ninth inning. What a finish by the Mariners.
7:30, I think it is, this morning. I was going to go through some things I like and some things I didn't like and some things that are kind of in between from this weekend. Yeah, we started off with some of the things that nobody liked with the offense, etc. On the list of things I loved, Andrés Muñoz might be at the top of that list, right behind the Julio walk-off and I guess the pitching performances from Kirby and Gilbert. But Muñoz was ridiculous. He looked unhittable. I don't know how anybody could possibly get a hit off of him throwing 100 like that with that slider. And he was phenomenal.
A four-out save.
Yeah, that was awesome to see.
Yeah, if Senor Smoke is back.
I forgot that he was Senor Smoke.
Yeah.
I don't think I love that nickname. I'm like trying to embrace it, but I think maybe there's a reason we forgot about it.
All right. Well, Justin brought it up in our email. Yeah, and then if you can get Brash and Santos healthy and Muñoz is looking like that.
Yeah, and then you get, it makes Ryan Stanek your fourth best reliever. Mm-hmm. Maybe fifth with Spire. That's kind of what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Cross your fingers we get there. Saturday, the Mariners won 4-3 in extras. It was a nail biter with the Red Sox scoring two runs in the top of the 10th. I would say that our text thread was getting a little frustrated by that point, talking about how we hadn't seen much of the new offensive approach. But then they did get some traffic on the bases. Luke Raley and Josh Rojas got on board. And then Julio Rodriguez closed it out with this.
Game-winning run at third. And a pitch. Line drive. Right center field. Ball game. Julio Rodriguez gets it done. Yes, sir. And the Mariners win it. 4-3. Rojas scores. And that's your ball game.
He was so fun to watch after that.
I mean, he just went nuts, as you would imagine. He's just been waiting for that moment. And,
yeah.
You know, he's had some nice moments so far in his career and some big-ish moments, right? He's had some big home runs. He's had some big hits. Not like he hasn't contributed in those moments at all. But last year was a struggle for him, just like we're saying, right? The Mariners' offensive struggles are getting exacerbated a little bit in people's eyes because of last year. Well, Julio, because of the struggles last year in big clutch moments, and by the way, he didn't come through in the eighth when he had an opportunity to maybe put them ahead and kind of set that up earlier. it feels even better because it feels like he's taken that giant monkey right off his back. So that was a really cool moment. It really was. And seeing him just running around like a little kid, I mean that in all the best possible ways, was just awesome. He was drenched. It looked like he'd gone swimming in a pool. Have you ever seen anyone that wet on a field?
Everybody else tries to avoid the water cooler pouring on me. He just did not.
I thought it was weird that he climbed into the water cooler.
He did himself.
Did they have an extra large water cooler that he could just dive into or something? Dude was soaked. In any event, that was cool. Can we just go back for a moment, though? I don't want to give it short shrift because there was one little cool moment before that walk-off that deserves to be mentioned, and that's Luke Raley's base running from third base.
That's true.
Right? How many times have we heard your complaints about the contact play over the years? Mm-hmm. It's a stupid contact play. Got him again. Took him right out of an inning. And if Raley doesn't beat that throw to the plate, there is no Julio walk-off. Right?
Yeah.
Or there's
a
decent chance that there's not.
Right. That it's not set up in that way. He's sneaky fast.
He's sneaky fast. But it's, you know what? It's not just the speed. He also did it right. He broke it exactly the right time. He had a good secondary lead. He came down the line and then, slid to the right part of the base and avoided the tag. I thought it was an awesome play. He got on via a little cheesy bloop single, and I'm sure if you were watching that game sitting and rooting for the other team, you're furious that he even made it on base. But you know what? That's how you win games.
Yeah.
Get a bloop single. Have, even though you get sawed off, which is what happened to JP there, you find a way to still get yourself in. That is a huge, huge run. They don't win without it.
And while they're struggling a little bit to get this new offensive approach going, it sounds like Service thinks Raley is a model of what they want that to be. He talked about him a lot this weekend.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Rocks guy. it was nice to see that, but it was not nice to see the 12 strikeouts that they had Saturday. So
12 on Saturday?
Talked about, yeah. But on the other side, for the Mariners on the mound, Walter was in full effect. Logan Gilbert going 7 innings, giving up 4 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, and striking out 8. We got to see plenty of his splitter and cutter. Ryan Divish even said that StatCast's algorithm was messed up trying to figure out what he was throwing.
Really?
Yeah. So he talked a little bit about being able to incorporate those secondary pitches after the game.
Some is the feel, how it's coming out of my hand, how they're reacting. I think it's nice having a little more freedom to be able to lean on that stuff when I want to, and not being just too reliant on the fastball or anything like that. So it was a little bit of both, the game plan before the game, knowing we had it if we wanted to, and then just how it was coming out of my hand and able to locate it.
I love how analytical he is about everything he does. Just great.
He's such a student of the game
and
a tinkerer, but it works for him. Whereas we used to be like, Kelnick, please stop messing with stuff.
He's always
tinkering with new pitches, but he finds what works for him.
Yeah, I think that's well said. Totally.
Some
agree.
Of the best pitchers in baseball were that, or were just guys who were able to not think of it in such a pragmatic A plus B equals C type.
I can't think of that many pitchers who have changed their stuff this often, right? I mean, occasionally you get these guys that come in with 8 or 9 different pitches. Right. Honestly, a bunch of them have been Japanese pitchers. Daisuke was like that when he first got here. Yu Darvish has certainly been that, where he throws a whole lot of pitches. It's funny because it's the polar opposite of Hideo Nomo, who came in and was like, hey, look, I throw this splitter and good luck. I'm going to throw it all the time. Good luck hitting it. I think there are guys who, I think what's more traditional is somebody who will add or change out one big pitch over the course of their career. I think about a young Roger Clemens, who was...
Funny, that was going to be the guy I was going to ask about.
All fastball, slider, maybe some curve. And then late in his career, he found and developed that splitter, and that became really his secondary pitch. And I'm sure there's some other examples of guys like that. It's just I'm going to add this one or change this one out. But I can't think of too many guys that sort of come in with a different repertoire every year, Gilbert seems to.
He's an interesting dude in so many ways.
Yeah.
All right. I guess we can kind of, we usually, our trend last year was we kind of just breezed through the Sunday game if they lost.
How about not wearing their cream unis on Sunday?
Yeah, that works.
Justin, you gave us the story behind that, right?
Oh, they're just not here. They didn't get them in time. Still don't have them.
Oh, okay.
They've not been delivered. It's not like somebody took a wrong turn. They are not here.
So they weren't stolen like the Yager bobbleheads.
Nah. No, they're just not here.
So the Fanatics group that did such a bang-up job on these uniforms that certain teams are wearing their old pants because they don't want to be, you know, exposed on national television?
Yeah.
Same group.
Yeah, they're just not there. They just haven't delivered them yet.
Wow. Wow.
The Mariners did say they're still going to wear them when they get them. But
they just haven't gotten them.
Nah, that's not
that's just coming. I mean, to be fair, we're very far, you know, away here in the Northwest.
It's not like anybody had any idea when the season was starting.
No, they haven't had any time. Nobody could have predicted this.
Wow. That's impressive.
Bananas.
See, Quandre Diggs is retiring.
I saw that post and I assume that's what it was.
April Fool's.
Ah.
Little April Fool's okay. For you, Maura. He says, I break my own news. Same. Peace out with the hanging cleats from Marshawn.
The Marshawn thing, yeah.
Yeah. He was just kidding, though, because April Fool's Day. What happened to you, Maura? I expected you'd be on top. I thought the moment I said it, you'd be like, oh, that was April Fool's. But instead, you were like kind of...
I literally saw it during the first segment while you were talking, so I didn't pay that much attention. But I was like, oh, maybe he's...
Wait, were you paying attention to what I was saying?
Yeah, that's why I didn't pay that much attention to Quandre's.
First time ever.
I was like, oh, I guess he's retiring.
First time ever.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Yesterday, Mitch Haniger's double in the second to score Josh Rojas was the only run the M's mustered all day. Bryce Miller started out hot, striking out three of the first four batters he faced and utilizing that splitter he'd been working on throughout spring training. But he gave up home runs in the second and fourth inning, ultimately going five innings, giving up six hits, four runs, and striking out six.
That three-run home run.
I mean, you want him to be able to hang in there a little longer without Santos and Brash right now, right? Like...
Well, I think that's the thing. I mean, that's really not who he is as a pitcher right now. I think that there's a lot of value in these two young kids and throw Emerson Hancock into it as well. But what you got to remember, and this is why there was some thought about going out and getting another veteran starter.
Yeah.
Bryce Miller and eventually Brian Wu and probably Hancock are not going to go that deep into games. It happens with young pitchers, and it specifically has happened with Bryce Miller a lot, where you're like, hey, man, kind of need you to throw more strikes, kind of need you to find ways to get a little deeper into the game, pitch to contact a little bit more, and get some of those ground ball outs. Is there a two-seamer or something he can use to try to just get outs? So, yeah, I'm not – that doesn't surprise me. It was a little exacerbated yesterday, but not necessarily a surprise.
How do you feel about the bullpen?
Well, I feel very in between. How do I feel about the top of the bullpen? Great. How do I feel about the bottom of the bullpen? Not so great, right? I mean, you know, if you're going to get if you get a lead, I feel awesome about your high leverage guys coming in. I feel good about Stanek, even though he didn't pitch great on Saturday. I feel very good, or Friday, I guess
Friday
it was.
Night, yeah.
I feel awesome about Munoz right now. I feel pretty good about Spire. And then after that, you know, kind of as expected, I don't really feel great about anybody. Trent Thornton seems like just a guy. Doesn't mean he's bad, but he's not going to, I don't see him developing into being that next level of guy.
Yeah.
Maybe Austin Voth will take that step. Bolton and Snyder are essentially brand new. Sacedo, I feel like I've kind of gotten to see who he is now as a major league pitcher. And I think there'll be some interesting, you know, when Brash and Santos come back, there are going to be some conversations about which two guys stay. I don't know whether Sacedo will stay with the club at that point, especially if Bolton and Snyder end up pitching pretty well. So it'll, I still feel pretty good about the long term for this bullpen. But for right now, I think you better get a lead because I think you're going to need the top of that leverage group to kind of do its thing.
Ugh. Okay. We'll move on to the NCAA tournament. On the men's side, Gonzaga lost 80-68 to Purdue on Friday. They were only down 4 points at the half, but the Boilermakers pulled away in the second. They went on a 14-2 run with about 12 minutes left, and it was too much for the Bulldogs to overcome. Gonzaga tried to contain 7-4 center Zach Edey, but he... Mark Few talked about this last week leading up to the game. He said he was one of the, what did he call it? He called him one of the best players or entities. In the last 25 years. He proved to be pretty unstoppable, racking up 27 points and 14 rebounds while shooting 10 of 15 from the field. Purdue also had three other players hit double digits. This was Mark Few after the game on Edey.
Having drawn on the experience that we had the first time playing him over in Hawaii, and that's why, you know, we felt like we played that game pretty even, and we just had a couple silly turnovers, missed some shots down the stretch. So that's why we tried to play him one-on-one, but then we got in all kinds of foul trouble there. That was a big basket and a and one there at the end of the half. I thought that kind of impacted us a little bit, and we couldn't start Benny in the second half. But, yeah, he's a load, and they did a great job. They made their threes in the first half, which really got us, you know, attentive and kind of dialed in to take those away, and then they just time and time again went to him over and over again in the second half.
He's a load.
Well, that was a funny way to describe it, too.
I mean, if I was 7'4", 300, you'd describe me as a load also, and I'd be like, yeah, I am.
Yeah.
I think you'd describe me as a loaf. I'm not going to be so clumsy on my feet. It'd be a disaster.
And he's not. That's crazy. Purdue went on to beat Tennessee in a hard-fought battle yesterday to punch their ticket to the Final Four, and he had 40 points and 16 rebounds.
Yeah. Dropping 40 in a college game is pretty good.
Yeah.
Especially because you're not shooting a ton of threes.
Yeah.
Right? Like, sometimes you'll see that somebody just goes nuts from the three-point line, but to drop 40 in today's game without shooting threes, that's a big deal.
God.
Yeah, it's fun to watch.
He's a load.
He's a load. I know you didn't fill out a bracket. You were really busy with that, but
forgot about that.
Yeah, who did you have going? Who'd you have winning?
Yeah, sure. Totally. Yeah, that's who I have.
You wouldn't have picked anybody just off the, based on the numbers, the ranks that they're at?
I don't know. I
that's what I did. I just picked Arizona.
How'd that go?
Good.
They're not in the Final Four.
Not good.
Well, whoever I picked probably wouldn't have made it either.
I mean, I think I picked Purdue last year, and they're out right away.
Is Michigan State in it? Probably would have picked them.
They went out fairly early.
They always
were. I think they were.
No, I guess not.
Purdue will face NC State on Saturday at 3 p.m. And then the defending national champs, UConn, dismantled Illinois 77-52, going on a 30-0 run at one point.
God.
It's their second straight trip to the Final Four, and they will now face an Alabama team coming off of an 89-82 win over Clemson, where they hit 16 three-pointers. That game will take place this Saturday at 6 p.m.
UConn won last year?
Yeah.
I don't have any recollection of that. None.
See, Justin, this is why you're asking. I'm like, well, who would you have picked?
Who would you pick?
I swear to you, if you had asked me who won the championship last year, you could have given me 30 guesses. I wouldn't have guessed UConn. I don't even remember that. They won?
Yeah.
I honestly don't remember.
Yep. Four seed.
Good on them.
Yeah.
Nice job, UConn.
30-0 is insane to me.
Wow. Really? I'm just finding out about this for the first time. I didn't know that. It's like
It's
like that Trump
meme. That's what
Around
the Weekend is for. Yeah.
It's like that big Trump meme. Really?
Just now hearing about this.
I'm just now hearing about this for the first time. Connecticut won last year.
Or San Diego State.
All right. On the women's side, as you mentioned, Iowa and LSU are going to face off because Iowa defeated Colorado 89-68.
Sure did. Watch that game.
LSU beat UCLA 78-69 to kick off this rematch. The game is today at 4:15. The two teams faced each other in the championship game last year with LSU winning 102-85. That game drew 9.9 million viewers. You played those cuts earlier of them talking. Both Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese talked about how, like, it's really not what people make it out to be. They're like, I don't hate her. It's just, like, on the court, we have this rivalry. And it bothers me that, like, I think this gets treated differently because it's women. Like, I feel like in men's sports, sometimes now we even complain that they're too friendly. Like, right. Why are they signing each other's jerseys after we wish it, the rivalries? And then we have this great rivalry that all these people are tuning into. And I think because it's women, it's like, oh, this side's the villains or this side's mean and they hate each other. I think they're just intense competitors.
I think you're right. And I think there's more to it than that. I think that I'm going to give you a yes and rather than a no but. Yes, I think that is part of it. I also think that there's a, you know, and I know everything is sort of part of the culture war in 2024, but I do think that there's also a racial element to it, right? You can't look at the two teams and
LSU
not
being
see
billed as the villains.
The difference. Yeah. I don't know if that's why they're the villains. I think that's making more of a... That's making more of a leap than I necessarily want to make. But I think that there's a lot of differences between the two teams. And I think that that's become part of America's culture war in 2024, whether it's columns from the LA Times or, you know, articles on Kim Mulkey and, you know, Angel Reese versus Caitlin Clark and what they mean for the sport and who gets to be the darling and this and that and who has to be the villain.
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily sure I know how it all works. Or I'm not necessarily sure that I could put it all into proper context, just that I think it's a lot. I think there's a lot of things going on at once. And seeing what I'm excited to do is just see these two basketball teams play each other tonight.
Yeah,
I don't know that it necessarily has to have like lasting implications for race or gender relations in the United States. I just think that these two teams are both a ton of fun to watch. And the fact that they have the rivalry that you just said should make today even better.
Yeah.
I'm psyched.
I mean, obviously millions of people are excited to watch these two teams face off. So yeah, hopefully we can just leave it at that. And it's a competitive sport. And
it's been fun,
man. It gets heated sometimes, and that's all it is.
I'm significantly more excited for the last few games here, the women's tournament, than I am about anything going on in the men's.
Well, yeah, we can tell.
And I'm also finding out that
you
UConn,
know who was in the women's championship game last year. You don't even know who was in the men's.
I'm told UConn won last year. Who did they play?
San Diego State.
There's no San Diego State went to the national title game.
It was a big run.
How come was there no news about this anywhere? Nobody
I'm
talked
sure
about it?
I'm sure we talked about it in around the weekend last year, so now who listens to who?
I don't listen to you at all. This should not be news to anybody. All right, I'm going to avoid the text machine for the last few minutes just based on what I was talking about. I'm sure there'll be a lot of very enlightened and calm texts coming in about America's culture war. Instead, we'll take a quick break, come back with Brock, and three questions I saw posed. I want to add two more. It's next on Brock and Salk.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.